Hello and welcome to the teaching podcast of Coastal Community Church, where our mission is to be love in Jesus Christ to the lost and found in our community. For more information about what Coastal is all about, visit sebastianchurch.com. Now please prepare your hearts to receive whatever God may have for you in today's sermon.
All right, welcome to Coastal. I'm Seth, I'm one of the pastors here, and I'm happy to get to worship with you this morning. And wow, you guys are like crammed in here on a holiday weekend, man. Good to see you guys. It's neat to see what God is doing at Coastal, growing us and expanding, not just numerically, but seeing people make decisions in their faith. And even here on a holiday weekend, coming out and worshiping. I love hearing, the band did an awesome. I love hearing your voices cut through, you know, and get to hear how God's working in your own, through your own lungs. You can hear it's a testimony what God's doing. And I don't know about you, but some of these songs, they become like anthems to what God's done in my life. Like we sang them like as we're waiting for a miracle, right? And then the miracle happens, right? And then these songs, when they come back, it brings back all that God's done in the past. And I want that to be true for you. That's why it's so important that you guys make it a habit of coming here and worshiping with us, because there's power in our togetherness and power in coming together for worship. And even as we're hurting, you know, crying out to God in the midst of the music, he hears what we're saying, and then we get to celebrate what he's done in our life. So, Lord, we're grateful for what you're gonna do today. We turn this entire service over to you. I don't know where everybody's at. There's probably some people here who are broken, who are doubting, who are aching, maybe even some people here who are celebrating, who are victorious, who are walking high. But Father, I pray that no matter where we come from, that you would meet us here and that we would be transformed through your presence. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to point out that this is a community where you can grow, and we have these things called life groups. Life groups are a small group of people who get together on a weekly or biweekly basis in order to grow in their faith. And they study the Bible, they connect, they pray for one another. There are 8 different groups in our church, so there's lots of different times that they meet. You got to get one of these life group menus. You can't eat the menu. But it does contain spiritual food, okay? So get one of these life group menus, or just go to sebastianchurch.com/lifegroups. This is how we grow as a church. Sunday's awesome. I love Sunday. I grow on Sunday, even just being a part of it in my preparation, and God uses these times for me as well. This is my church, but it's also important for us to get together on a smaller level and connect with one another and pray with one another and do life together. So let's grow together that way. All right. We are in our second week of faith that doesn't flinch. And I'm not going to jump out at anybody, because I think that girl's still recovering from me making her flinch last week. I think everything's okay. But I'm gonna refrain from doing that in real life here. But I don't know if you've ever had any flinch-worthy moments, but I was putting our grill cover on after it had been off for a while. It was kind of dirty, and I'm kind of shaking it as I'm putting it on. And this is a few years ago, but it's burned in my memory, because as I put that over my head to shake it off and begin putting it over the grill, a 3 or 4 foot a black snake came out and wrapped itself around my neck. And now we say that that's a good snake, right? We say it's a good snake, but it wasn't being good at that time. I flinched, I screamed like a girl. It was a moment. And it was a good snake, right? That was a good snake. And here in Florida, we have good snakes, right? I remember trying to convince somebody who recently moved here, that's a good snake that you have there. Keep that. That's good. And they didn't see the value in that. But the good snakes, right? The black snakes, they kill our vermin here. They take care of the rats, maybe a few bunnies, sorry. They take care of the mice, whatever. And they just keep on going, right? And then you got the yellow rat snake, the milk snake, all good snakes. And then you got the diamondback rattler, right? The coral snake, the moccasin. I never had a snake chase me except for that. Those tend to like to come, and it's always when we're at the springs, you know, when you're in the water, you know. So they always tend to catch one when we're there. And then, what is it, the copperhead. And so it really doesn't matter whether the snake is a good snake or is a bad snake. When you flinch, that seems to be all that matters at the moment. It can be a good thing or a bad thing. You don't even know what it is, but it surprised you. And it made you flinch. Today we're talking about a faith that doesn't flinch, a faith that fights. And when you flinch, it's a matter of what you do next that matters. We are not here to say that you're able to develop a flinchless faith, that you just go through life and snakes fall on you and you're just, praise the Lord, hallelujah, manna from heaven. No, you'd be crazy, or maybe a YouTube creator if you did that. But this is a faith that is a flinchless faith. Not a flinchless faith, but a flinchless faith. So let's flinch less and follow more, okay? And you guys are here for week two. It's only a 2-week series. If you missed week one, you can go back and check that out on YouTube or Facebook. But if we're a follower of Jesus, surprises are going to leap out at us, and we have the opportunity to move past our flinch and into faith. All right, so we're gonna be talking from Ezekiel chapter 37. In Ezekiel chapter 37, we're going to get to see a vision that God revealed to Ezekiel. And that vision is talking about faith in a hopeless situation. Faith that fights. Faith that doesn't flinch, fights. And we're gonna have everybody say all these F words together, the good ones, the good F words. Faith. What'd you learn at church? To say F words. Faith fights fake. Point number one, faith fights fake. It doesn't fight in a fake way. It fights the fakeness in your life. A tendency is that when we do flinch, we fake it, right? In other words, if a couple of my buddies were with me in the backyard when I did that and the snake fell on my shoulders and really felt like it was wrapping around my neck to kill me, of course I knew it was okay, but in the moment, the feeling, you know, but I would then follow it up with a equally masculine, that's just a good snake, you know, and then I'd go and grab a hold of it like the crocodile hunter or some other crazy person, and yeah, see, it didn't hurt a thing, you know, and, you know, just, I would fake that I really wasn't that afraid, but I was. We tend to fake it when things happen. People will ask you, how you doing at church? Praise the Lord, I'm grateful and blessed. Okay, that's awesome if you really are. If you really are, that's great. In fact, we are grateful and blessed even when we don't feel it, but there's no need to fake it. There's no need to pretend. You can go ahead and be honest when you're struggling. And so God is actually telling Ezekiel to be honest about his flinch. So we're about to read this vision. Ezekiel's being transported by way of the Spirit, by way of the Holy Spirit, and showing and taking him to a place of hopelessness, a historical battlefield of death and destruction. And we're gonna go to Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1. The hand of the Lord was on me. He brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was all full of bones. He led me back and forth among them. And I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. He asked me, son of man, can these bones live? I said, sovereign Lord, you only know. Now these bones represented the battles that Israel had fought. And I brought some bones with me this morning. You know, I had this idea, and I thought, I'm gonna bring some chicken bones to the service. And I'm like, nah, chicken bones is too easy. Chicken bones is expected. Yuppies can pick up chicken bones at Publix, but I'm from Fellsmere. So I went out to the woods at 6 a.m. this morning, where I recall there was a carcass of a hog a few months ago. And I had already harvested the tusks for Mason. And so I went out there in the dark and with my flashlight, which didn't look suspicious at all. What are you doing? The officer would say, and I was playing in my head, what are you doing? The officer might say, I'm just digging up bones, you know? What for? For church, for church. We're gonna need Baker Act, you know, so I don't know what they were gonna do. Like, and I don't know what I was thinking, like I didn't bring a container, but somebody, you know, by the grace of God, left a like leftover container, the styrofoam thing. It had been run over a few times. So I'm like stacking bones in, but listen, so I got some bones here and I knew you all would love this part and I'm gonna be available after the service to shake hands. But you can, this is real bones, okay? And when we start looking at this, we can see the hopelessness. Like this isn't just death here. This is death months ago. This is dry bones. In fact, this isn't just death. This has been mowed over, walked over, run over by every UTV in Fellsmere. Like this is on a trail that's well trodden and it's just been, they've been forgotten about, but I didn't forget. And so I went back to where the bones were so that I could teach you a lesson about faith. And everybody shook my hand a little lightly after first service. They're just fist bump, maybe elbow. You remember this and COVID? All right. So the bones represented these past battles, these past failures. So I don't know what bones the Lord is going to bring you to this morning. I don't know where the Spirit is going to take you, but wherever it is, I'm just praying that the Lord would direct you right now, take you. He's already taken Ezekiel to that place, but I pray that the Holy Spirit would take you to wherever it is that your faith lost its fight, to wherever it is that you gave up, to wherever it is that you just had a situation like this. Like, can we just look at these for a second? I know some of you are just like, you know, you just calm your gag reflex for just a second. Like, does anyone here have the faith that these could come together and become a hog again? Faithless generation, brood of vipers. And yet God is saying, can these bones live? He tells Ezekiel, can these bones live? Now, when God asks a trick question, the answer is always, God only knows. Okay, it's a great answer, okay? Ezekiel's already like, man, there is not a good answer here, okay? Because I don't believe those can live, okay? If you believe these can live, you're weird. You're very, very weird, okay? Weirder than a guy who brings months-old bones to church service for a sermon analogy. Way weirder than me, okay? But God's saying, hey, do you believe that there's any hope for this? And actually, Ezekiel's answer is right. God only knows. God only knows. You know, when we don't know, it's okay to say that. God only knows. Is there any hope for this situation? Is there any hope for this ever to come together? God only knows. Is there any hope for this ever to be fixed? God only knows. Is there any hope for me ever to get out of debt? God only knows. Is there any hope for my marriage? God only knows. Is there any hope for my children? God only knows. Is there any hope for the cancer diagnosis? God only knows. So when we flinch and God says, hey, I saw you flinch back there. Is there any hope in that? I want you to get there this morning, wherever the dry bones are in your life, get there and hear the voice of the Holy Spirit saying, pointing and saying, is there any, can I do something here? God only knows. I remember when I used to watch the Buccaneers play when they were, I still do. I'm a avid Tampa Bay Buccaneers fan. Those of you who don't like football, I'm sorry, it's just gonna be 2 minutes, okay? Just give me two, maybe a minute and a half, okay? I love the Buccaneers. We were in Tampa when they, don't you love the Buccaneers? I know you love some Buccaneers, Mr. Dolphins fan. I got some Dolphins fans up here in the front. But look, we, you know, hey, God loves everybody. But, you know, we were in Tampa when the Buccaneers won the Super Bowl and it kind of made us like Buccaneers fans. I don't even think I was a football fan before that. I just once they won. I had to be, you know, they're out there waving flags like we just won a war. I'm like, I guess I should be a part of this, you know? And I joined the crazy train. And so now I watch the football games, and they're really, I think we're entering into another season like this, but in the past, like, they really haven't given us much to watch, okay? They're really bad, okay? It's not as bad as, you know, the Browns, but like, they've always been just a rough team, and I just gotta be honest with my church family that sometimes I would watch them. Once they get to the third quarter, we're not talking about the Brady year, but when they get to the third quarter and it's just hopeless, there's no point in watching it anymore. And it's after church and I'm like, I'm gonna go take a nap, okay? But then I'll be at Todd's house or one of my friend's house and we're watching it together. And apparently it's not polite to go to sleep on somebody else's couch when the game is boring. So I have to, like, we're just commiserating together, like, oh, and again, they throw away a lead or they, you know, whatever. And I gotta be honest, like, sometimes I'm a fair weather friend. I value my nap more than watching another frustrating situation added to my life. And so I'm like, no, I'm not gonna watch this. I'm going to instead sleep. You know, there are very few people who will stay with you, who will stay by your side when it's the third quarter and there's no hope of you winning. And what God is doing here is he's taking Ezekiel to where the loss is, to where there's no hope, and saying, hey, I can do something here. I want you to just entertain the idea that where you've given up on your faith might be where it's going to come to life. God will work and God will be present in the midst of the valley. So even when you see how bad it is, he asks you, can you see life when all you see is death? Be real, because faith fights fake. Number two, faith fights fear. Faith fights fear through the word of God, or the word of the Lord. We have this great opportunity to live in this age where we have the Bible in our pocket all the time. I meant to take this out, but here it is. I have the Bible in my pocket. There's a bunch of other crap in there that distracts me during the day, but the Bible is here. And through YouVersion, I'm able to highlight verses. Like when God uses a verse, highlight that thing. You gotta log into the app, highlight that thing, because then you can go back and remember what the Lord told you in the Bible. You can go to your highlights and check that out. You know, before all that, we had to memorize scripture. And I still want you to memorize scripture. The Bible tells us, right? Hide God's word in your heart, right? And when we do that, the Holy Spirit has this capacity to be able to recall to remembrance at just the right moment the word of the Lord that you need in the valley of death. And this is how we fight fear. Faith fights fear through the word of God. Faith fights fear. Fear is usually a bunch of stuff that isn't true or might be true, or we don't know if it's true, but we're afraid of it, right? And faith fights fear with truth. Faith fights fear with truth. Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 4. Then he said to me, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come upon you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So speak the words of the Lord over every fear that makes you flinch. Speak the word of the Lord over everything that has terrified you. When the snake falls out, right, on top of your neck, speak the word of the Lord. Don't speak that other stuff. Speak the word of the Lord over that situation. Speak the word of the Lord over the death in your life, over the problems. Speak over your problems what has been spoken over you. And we have to be careful what's spoken over us. We have to be careful what we allow to be spoken over us. If we do not spend time in the word of the Lord, if we don't spend time making sure that we're filling up ourselves with the word of the Lord, the other speaking is gonna cut through, and then we're not gonna be paying attention to the words that are truth that are spoken over us. And we're gonna pay attention to the words that are not truth being spoken over us. Words like failure, Words like not good enough. Words like divorced. Words like unforgiven. Words like uneducated. Words like unemployed. Words like Dolphins fan. Words like, even them, right? God, I said it was gonna be over in a minute and a half and I lied, I'm sorry. I just couldn't leave that there. God tells Ezekiel, speak to the very thing that makes you flinch. And he doesn't just say speak, he says prophesy. Prophesy, everybody say prophesy. Some of you are like, it even feels weird to say it, right? Some of you are like, Ezekiel, you wanna go into Harry Potter stuff? Like, get out the wand and start, prophesy. You know, this sounds like a hocus pocus thing that you do. I wanna take the hocus pocus out of it. Like, prophesy, it's not what you think it is. He says, prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Prophesy. I wanna read for you the Hebrew word of what prophesy is. It's nava. Everyone say nava. It's kind of like a V, but it's a B, nava. It means to speak under the influence of a divine spirit. That's prophesy. Put your wand away. We are gonna prophesy over our problems what's been prophesied over us. What we have heard from the Lord, we can use to fight the fear in our life. Amen. I heard that, Amelia. I heard that. When we have divine words, we receive divine power. And when we use those divine words over our problems, we have divine power for victory. So when you're in the valley, speak over your fear, what has been spoken over you. And we need to not forget what the scripture says and these things that can be brought to memory. I'm gonna read a few of these. They won't be on the screen. You can email me, amen@sebastianchurch.com. I'd be happy to send you these. Philippians 4:19 says, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. That's a great thing to read and to memorize, maybe when you're looking at your budget, right? And then Romans 8:28, and we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. 1 Peter 5:10 says, after you have suffered a little while, he himself will restore you and make you strong, firm, and steadfast. He will breathe breath into you. He will breathe the breath of life into these dry bones. Faith fights fear by speaking the same words over you, or speaking the same words over your problems that have been spoken over you. And finally, faith fights futility. I know you guys were like, is there really another F word? Faith fights futility. A faith that believes that these bones can come to life, some may call futile, hopeless. There's no point in that kind of faith. Faith fights futility. God loves to blow our minds through making dead things come to life, through making things that everybody else has given up on, people that everybody has given up on, things that everybody has given up on, breathing new life into them and seeing deliverance and power come through those, seeing life breathed into those areas that have long since been hopeless. Verses 7 and 8 say, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound. And the bones came together, bone to bone. And I looked, and the tendons and flesh appeared on them. Skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Now, I'm just telling you, like, if these started rattling right now, like, not, and I wasn't putting my hand here, we may be a little shaken up. But I want you to realize Ezekiel is being asked, look at this. He's being directed to look for life in the dead place. And not only is he looking, he's listening. And really, it's not that great. Like, dry bones are rattling. Something must be happening, right? There must be something impacting these, because it's not life in and of itself, because there's death, nothing more than death here. And so they begin rattling, and it says their flesh starts appearing. Great, still dead. No breath, still dead, but moving. A faith that fights futility begins to see hope in these places. When all seems futile, there is a noise. Verse 9, it says, Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, breathe from the four winds, that's from every direction, and breathe into these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army. And so the Spirit of the Lord brings Ezekiel to the place where they lost everything, where the battlefield was littered with dead bones. And he said, do you see any hope here? Only you know, God. God only knows. And he says, speak over this death, the words that I'm telling you. Now he says, speak over this breath. Now this word for breath, it's the Hebrew word ruach. It's the Hebrew word for spirit. It's the same word that's used to speak of the Spirit of God. He says, you tell the Spirit of God, you believe there's hope here. And when you speak to the Spirit of God, what you've given up on will come to life. They don't even just rattle, they begin rising up, and it says a vast army rose up, a vast army. A vast army is translated from the Hebrew word, which I can't find, here it is. The Hebrew word gadol, miod, miod. And that word miod, it's repeated, it's so nice they said it twice, because it means very. It's a vast army, a very, very vast army. When we've given up on hope, God wants to blow our minds with showing us a very, very vast hope of deliverance. And so the Spirit of the Lord moves in this dead place. And in verse 13, it says, then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves and bring you up from them, I will put my spirit in you and you will live. And I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done it, declares the Lord. I want us to bow our heads right here. Did God take you to a place of death that he wants you to answer the question, is there any hope? Did God take you to a specific place? Just you and God. There's too many different possibilities here for me to direct you much different than just go to God and say, God, where are you taking me? Where I lost my fight for faith. He's taking you there. He's walking you back and forth. That's what the Spirit did to Ezekiel. He walked him back and forth over the dry bones. And he says, is there any hope here? Can God do this? So right now, God is giving you words to speak over that place in the valley. If God gave you words in this place of the valley, I want you just silently, just mouth them at your seat quietly. There is power when we speak over our problems, the word of the Lord. Lord, we believe there is hope. We believe beyond the futility. And so we prophesy. We speak under the influence of you. There is hope beyond this moment. There is hope through your Spirit that dwells in everyone who believes. Maybe you're here today and you're still in that valley, and I just want to I want you to make sure that you connect with God. He's the only one who can give you hope in that situation. So I can't fix that. I can't take you on a vision to that place and show you hope, but God can. So right now, I pray that you'd receive that hope. Faith that doesn't flinch, or flinchless faith, is a faith that stands, is a faith that fights. But maybe we're just getting started. If you're new to this whole faith thing and you're ready to explore, I want to invite you to make a decision. We have a baptism coming up next week, and you could jump into this faith and get baptized next week and step forward into these next steps of growing in your faith into a faith that flinches less and follows more. So I want to, we're coming right up on an important Sunday. Now's the time. If you're here and you want to believe in Jesus, you want to decide to follow Jesus, I want to invite, I make it really easy. A, B, C. A, admit that I've sinned. Admit that I've failed, that I'm not perfect. B, believe that Jesus sent his son to die as a sacrifice for my sins. And C, commit to live my life for him. Could I have our leaders come forward? I want to invite you forward. Two things I want to invite you forward for prayer. Number one, if you want to decide to follow Jesus right now, let's stand up. Let's make it easier for those who are going to make a decision to follow Jesus. Let's stand up. One less step they have to take. Let's stand together, church. One less step. If somebody in the inner aisle is, we're kind of a bit full today. If someone in the inner seats is wanting to come forward and make a step for faith, get out of the way. Walk up here with them. Pastor Ron said, God brought you here for a reason. Maybe that reason is to take your first step of faith and decide to follow Jesus. So if that's you, come forward, talk with either Dr. Harvey, or talk with Pastor Ron or my wife, Krista. Come forward. Someone would love to encourage you in that new step for faith. Some of you need to come forward and decide, hey, we're gonna look at these dry bones and we're gonna believe differently about them. We're gonna believe that God has something to say about this and that God is not finished yet. The story is still being written. And so for some of you, you need to come forward in faith knowing that, man, you may have lost all your fight and you just need us to lift you up and encourage you. So we invite you to do that. Lord, we pray for courage over every individual, even those who are not sure about moving forward. I pray, Father, you'd help them to make a decision wherever they're at in their seat or maybe online. They're ready to make a decision to follow you or to come forward and decide, hey, I'm gonna give these dry bones over to the Lord. The areas I've given up on. So even if you're not ready to come forward, I invite you to make a decision. Follow Jesus. And once you've followed him, let your faith stand. Let your faith fight. If you made that decision today, I want to invite you to mark it on your Connect card, put it in the give box on your way out, or hand it to me. I want to encourage you, but I want to help you grow. I have a book. It's called Following Jesus, and the book's gonna help you grow in your faith so that you don't just stay the same. So I wanna give that to you. I can't do that if I don't know whether you've made a decision. You can either mark it on a card, you can send an email to amen@sebastianchurch.com. Also, I wanna encourage you, if you've already decided to follow Jesus, and maybe that next step of faith the Lord's calling you to is baptism. That's just next week. Just mark on that card. Tell us you're ready. God's doing some great things here at Coastal. We have several that are already signed up to be baptized. I'd love to add your name to that list and celebrate what God is doing in your life. All right, you guys can be seated. I want to tell you next week is one that you don't want to miss. Next week, we're going to be, it's Vision Sunday here at Coastal. We're going to be talking about our vision. We're going to be stealing all the announcements. We're going to be doing a baptism, as I said. We're going to be launching life groups, as I said. But I want you to invite somebody. I want you to invite someone to hear, not just about, not just to see the baptism, but to hear what God is going to do next here at Coastal.
Thank you for listening, and we hope you were blessed by today's teaching. We would love to connect with you, and here are some ways you can connect with us. You can submit a prayer request, find a life group, or check out some of the upcoming events at sebastianchurch.com/go. Join us here again for the next episode.